Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. I notice we have a few visitors with us today. We're awful glad that you came to worship with us. We hope that you go back to your home congregation and let people know that the church is alive and well in Las Vegas, Nevada. It has a reputation, Las Vegas does, of Sin City, but I hope that your time here will be well spent, and we're glad that you worship God with us this morning. We're going to continue looking at the apostles. Today we're going to look at Matthew, who is sometimes referred to as Levi. Matthew was a tax collector. The term was Mokeis. I think I'm saying that right. Of course I'm saying it right. Anyway, tax collectors, not a lot has changed. They weren't looked upon very favorably. Around April 15th every year, we kind of crunch up our mouth and grit our teeth as we're writing that check to the IRS, and just the concept of the IRS and paying taxes doesn't set well, and it's been that way for eons and eons. Matthew was especially despised by the Jews themselves because he himself was a Jew. And he would have been seen as literally a traitor to his own people. Now, we do not know, according to Scripture, exactly Matthew's situation. Many, I won't say all, many of the tax collectors were very corrupt. They would charge more than they were allowed to. They were literally almost considered untouchable because they had the backing of the Roman army. And when you would have to pay taxes, they give you an amount, and if you don't pay it, who are you going to complain to? The Roman army who's backing them up? They're getting a little bit of the kickback anyway. So you didn't have a lot of recourse. Matthew would have been, he would have been looked down upon as a tax collector anyway. But for the Jews of the region, he would have been especially despised because he was Jewish. How can you be like this to your own people? Now, we do not know, according to Scripture, if Matthew was corrupt. We do not know if he lived like this or not. But most did. Those stereotypes, one, you've got to remember, they're stereotypes. But those stereotypes don't come up out of a vague vacuum. You know, we've got the jokes about the IRS. We've got jokes about, and please don't, you know, there's jokes about school teachers. There's jokes about used car salesmen, lawyers. They did not get there out of a vacuum. Hopefully, Matthew was not like that. But if he was, he changed. Because we see a faithful, dedicated Christian as Matthew, a man that would eventually die for his faith. Of all the apostles, they would all die a martyr's death, except John, who died of natural causes of old age. But Matthew would be killed for his beliefs. We don't know exactly what kind of person he was as a tax collector. Well, we see a little insight. We don't know if he was corrupt or not. In Luke 3, John the Baptist was preaching, and in chapter 3, starting in verse 12, we see it says, then tax collectors also came to be baptized. And he said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than what is appointed for you. We do not know if Matthew was in this group. We do not know if Matthew was there listening to John preach. But tax collectors had come to John to be baptized. So they're not just totally evil people, every single one of them. They wanted to be baptized. We see a lot, in these two verses, we see an awful lot of religious doctrinal foundation here. One, they had the same question, what shall we do? Same question the people on the day of Pentecost had. The same question that every one of us have faced at one time in our life when we realized we had sin in our lives. What do we do to remedy it? They wanted to be baptized. And John reports to them, what you need to do, you need to repent. It's the same answer Peter said at Pentecost. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. He says, for them specifically, collect no more than what is appointed for you. This was the common practice. The Roman government expected you to collect this much. Well, you'd collect that and a little bit more, and you'd pocket the rest. It was a corrupt system. This shows that when you want to turn to God, you don't just keep living that same old sinful lifestyle. You have to change. What good is wanting to come to be baptized if you're going to continue in that same pattern of sin that you'd been in? And we can trade out and fill in the blanks. However, so-and-so came to be baptized. What do I need? You need to change and repent of your sin. Not just continue on in the same old pattern. In Luke 5, we see Jesus coming into contact with Matthew specifically. In Luke 5, starting in verse 27, it says, after these things, he went out and saw, and this is talking about Jesus, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi. Matthew is sometimes called Levi. Peter is sometimes called Simon, etc. Sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up and followed him. I do not know, when it says he left all, I don't know if he quit his job. I don't know if he was irresponsible and just left the tax booth and left it all by itself. That doesn't sound very responsible. The concept is he left all behind. Whether he quit his job, I don't know. My guess is I doubt it. But he left all behind. Paul in Philippians says, I count all things rubbish. I push on. I press on. The things that I had accomplished, I count as rubbish in my life. Matthew left all, rose up, and followed. Many of us have done that. Many of us have done that. We've left all. There's a lot of Christians that try to follow Jesus and still hold on to the past. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. It continues, then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Matthew not only followed Jesus, but he presented him with a great feast, a big banquet in his honor. And we also, one, we see that he was generous. That he sees Jesus and he wants to honor him. This is a way he can do that. Every one of us have different abilities, different talents. Matthew did what he could. I have some means. I have some money. I have a decent home that can accommodate people. I will use what I can to honor Jesus. Also, we see his heart. There were other tax collectors there. Obviously, he invited people he worked with or friends of his. He wanted them to share with his guest, Jesus. He wanted them to be there with Jesus at his house. And there were others who sat down with them. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained. There's always the complainers. You can't just have a nice feast. You got to have people complaining about something. And their scribes and Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Pointing the finger. Finding something. Now, I will tell you, it's two sides of the coin to this. We know that what Jesus did, there was nothing wrong with it. Jesus couldn't. What he did by eating with those people, it wasn't wrong because he was Jesus. But there is the other side of the story that people sometimes, they don't always view it the way they should. And this is kind of also a lesson, kind of an additional lesson. We as people, because we're not Jesus, we have to sometimes consider the circumstance and the people we're around, because other people will. Now, even though Jesus wasn't doing anything wrong, the scribes and the Pharisees, they're looking and they're being condemning about it. You know, why do you eat with and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Why are you around those people? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the story of the Bible right here. This verse right here is the theme of the Bible. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. They would have had no need of him. You don't go, I mean, I guess maybe a checkup or you know, something like that. You don't go to the doctor. So you go in there, the nurse brings you in, sits you down after your 45-minute wait. That's you, any doctors, I'm sorry. Finally, the doctor comes in. So what brings in? Nothing, just wanted you to know, I'm feeling great. We don't go to the doctor if we don't need to. We don't go to the dentist just to tell them everything's A-okay. You go if you need to. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. They wouldn't have needed him. He came for sinners. And what? To lead them to repentance. Just like the tax collectors wanting to know, what shall we do, when they were talking to John the Baptist. You repent. You don't collect more than you should. There's nothing wrong with being a tax collector. It was an honest job. It's how you went about it. Nothing wrong with being a tax collector. But if you're doing things corrupt, taking more than you should, pocketing more, that's wrong. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They're the ones that need to repent. If we were righteous, there would have been no need for Jesus. In John 3, 16 and 17, one of the most quoted scriptures of the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God did not go through sending his Son into the world and seeing him suffer the treatment that he had and be killed on a cross just for a whim, just because it was, you know, nothing to do today. He so loved the world, and there was no way out for them, that he sent his Son with that sacrifice. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. He came for the people that needed him. We have a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Again, I do not know if Jesus spoke this parable for Matthew's sake. When he would do a parable about fishing, was he doing it for the sake of Peter and James and John to get through to them? I don't know if Jesus had Matthew in mind in this. I don't know if he had witnessed Matthew himself do the very same thing as in this, or if it was just using this as an example. Maybe there were tax collectors and or Pharisees in the crowd. But Matthew definitely was a tax collector, and I'm sure when he heard this, his ears kind of pricked up with this parable. In Luke 18, starting in verse 9, it says, "Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself." I find the wording of that very interesting. Basically, the words he was giving, offering as a prayer, it was with himself. He's standing there, and his words aren't really going past anybody but him. And he goes on to say in his prayer, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God, I show up on Wednesday night. I help set up for potlucks. I even get on the cleanup of the bathroom list. God, I'm so glad I'm not like all these other people. Thank you. I do all this, by the way, in case you don't know. I just want to give you a list of the things I do, God. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. That should be our prayer every day. Dear God, please forgive me. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. We see a big difference in the two kinds of people. The Pharisee, a religious man, one of the, quote, religious leaders of the era. He's going before God. God, make sure you notice all that I do. In case you don't, here's my list. I'm so glad I'm not like these sinners. And then the tax collector, somebody that people had a low view of anyway. Dear God, have mercy on me. Please forgive me. What a stark contrast in the two individuals. We don't know if Jesus had maybe was referring to Matthew. Maybe he had seen Matthew do this very same thing. We don't know. But obviously, it would have sure had an impact on not only Matthew hearing it, but the crowd also, that they could put themselves in one or two of those situations. Maybe people that weren't Pharisees identified, man, that's the way I go to God in prayer. Or identifying with the tax collector as being humble. And Jesus goes on to say, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Jesus is saying this is black and white, case closed. You exalt yourself, you will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee, he was arrogant. He had a judgmental attitude. And he compared himself to others. A very dangerous position to be in. Trying to justify your actions, judging yourself, comparing yourself to other people. In Matthew 7, verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Jesus is warning people here about that judgmental attitude, about comparing ourselves to others. It doesn't mean that we can't evaluate doctrine and actions. We are told in a gazillion places that we have to avoid sin. Well, how do you evaluate actions if you don't do this? But the judgment should not be our standards. And that's what the Pharisee had done. The Pharisee was judging people by his standards, not the Bible's. And when we judge people by our standards, by the way we think they should behave, by the way we think they should do things, and we see that a lot. We see that we have an expectation. We think that somebody should be doing this. Not based on the Bible, but by what we want. Well, what we think changes. God's Word doesn't change. You know, how many times have you heard somebody stand pat against a certain issue until they become guilty of that issue? And then they start changing, they start backpedaling their position. They go around and start criticizing people as oh, they're just a Sunday morning Christian. Now, should people be just a Sunday morning Christian? No. But we shouldn't be critical. Worry about Jesus said to Peter, you worry about yourself. When he was saying what kind of death Peter was going to have. And what kind of death John would have. Well, what? Peter's saying, well, what about this guy? Peter, you worry about yourself. You got enough to worry about just worrying about Peter. I find it interesting that a lot of the people, whatever issue, take it the Sunday morning Christian. They'll be critical of Sunday morning Christians until they become one. Then they change their tune. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? Judging each other by our standards is dangerous. Well, I'm sure not as bad as so-and-so. Maybe not. Just because you're not as bad as so-and-so doesn't mean that we're not guilty. On the day of Pentecost, the people that were being preached to, it says, were devout men. Devout men. Cornelius was a devout man. The Ethiopian eunuch was a man that was praying to God and reading Scripture. A religious-minded man. But they weren't saved. Just because we're not as bad as others, like the Pharisee said, I'm so glad I'm not like these other people. Adulterers and extortioners and even like this tax collector. Doesn't mean he was right. Romans 3:23, Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's the purpose of Jesus. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the result of sin is death. But the rest of the story is God loved us enough to give us a gift, His Son Jesus. Brings us back to Matthew. I do not know if Matthew was the tax collector that Jesus was referring to in the parable. What we do know about Matthew, he was a tax collector, despised by many. But just because of his employment didn't mean he couldn't follow Jesus. And he would do that the rest of his life. We see that he remains faithful. He was a faithful disciple and apostle. And he would eventually be killed for his faith. This eyewitness that saw the miracles, that saw the healings, that saw the crucifixion, that would be one of the 12 that would take the message after Jesus had ascended back into heaven and take it to the rest of the world. I hope you can make some connection about Matthew, about tax collectors, about the Pharisee, and use it in our life as we go into this new week. Again, visitors, we're glad that you came to worship with us. If anybody needs to respond to the invitation this morning, if you are to the point of asking those same basic questions as we've seen, what shall we do? If you realize you have sin in your life and you're not baptized, just like the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter responded, repent and be baptized. If you are a Christian and you've got sin in your life, repentance still stands. The tax collectors that wanted to be baptized, John said, don't keep living that life. Repent. Whatever your need, if you would like to identify with us and work with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. We will put you to work. We can use you. Whatever your need, if you would come forward with your request while we stand and sing the invitation song. Curtis, let us stand.